My name is Stéphane Lacroix. I'm an assistant professor of political science at Sciences Po in Paris. I'm going to be talking about Salafism in Egypt in the post-revolution period. Salafis have become, quite unexpectedly, a major political force in Egyptian politics in the post-revolution era. And this was something most people considered unexpected, because you know, everyone expected the army to play a major role, everyone expected the remnants of the old regime to remain major players, everyone expected, obviously, the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, to be an important player, but no one really expected the Salafis would become so influential. And one of the reasons why no one expected them to become so influential is that they were not in politics before the revolution. Salafis, very distinctively from the Brotherhood, were a movement that called for the purification of the Islamic creed and was trying to encourage people to adopt social practices that can be considered ultra-conservative, but they didn't have a political message. They were a movement of preaching, and that worked in society, and that didn't have any presence in the political field. That's before the revolution. It's not a new movement, though. It's a movement that has been in Egypt for a long time. Actually, the first Salafi association in Egypt was created in 1926. That is 2 years before the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Salafis have been around for a long time. This group that was created in 1926 is called Ansar al-Sunnah al-Muhammadiyya, the proponents of the prophetic tradition. They were a group of scholars, basically, Islamic scholars. What they did was to write books, to publish books of the, you know, like kind of medieval treatises of jurisprudence and theology. That's the kind of work that they did. So it was a group of ulama that contributed, of scholars that contributed to spreading those ideas in Egypt, but they were not a movement in any political sense, and they didn't even really try at that time to foster a mass movement. So you know, they were there, and eventually, after a few decades, you know, the fact that they made this literature available to Egyptians, they brought books from Saudi Arabia, for instance, and they started publishing them in Egypt. This gave Salafism some influence in the Islamic field that it didn't have before. In the 1970s, those Salafi ideas that already were there in Egypt received support from Saudi Arabia even more, and the support this time was more direct, because Saudi Arabia in the 1970s now had oil money. Saudi Arabia had become a renter state in the meantime, and Saudi Arabia now had an active policy of promoting Salafism outside the country. And so many of those scholars who were proponents of Salafism in Egypt now got support from Saudi Arabia and became even more influential in the 70s. And eventually in the late 70s, some young people, students actually, who had been, some of them, influenced by those books and who were based in Alexandria, decided to create an organized Salafi movement in Egypt. So that's really late 1970s is the moment when there starts to be an organized Salafi movement that decides to work on society, that decides to try to, you know, have a grassroots presence in society, not just be limited to a scholarly elite, but have a grassroots presence in society. Actually, the date that's generally given for the creation of that group is 1978. Those are students from the Faculty of Medicine of Alexandria, actually. So it's interesting, always something that can be seen with Islamists in general. Many of them are not people who have formally studied religion, right? In this case, those are students of medicine, but who have, you know, been influenced by this kind of Salafi literature that's around, and, you know, they've decided to create their own Salafi movement. So the group is founded in 1978. They call it the Da'wah Salafiyya, the Salafi call. And all the leaders are in Alexandria. This explains why, until today, Egyptian Salafism is centered in Alexandria. This is interesting because, of course, Alexandria has this reputation of being, you know, one of the most liberal, open-minded cities in Egypt because of its history. And so it's kind of an irony that the Salafi movement would take root in Alexandria. I believe it's more like a coincidence. But eventually, Salafis, among others, contributed to change the social climate of Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is much more conservative than it used to be. And the Salafis have played a role in making it more conservative. But the fact that it appeared in Alexandria is linked, I believe, to a coincidence. The leaders were based in that city. In the 80s and 90s and 2000s, those Salafis, the Salafi movement that had been created in Alexandria, developed very quickly. Its influence very quickly went beyond Alexandria. Students who had founded the movement, now were called sheikhs, right? Now they were the leaders of the movement. They were considered to have religious authority, which many of them had just earned, informally, right? Yeah, as I said, they've never been students of Al-Azhar, or they've never been students of any recognized Islamic institution. But now, within the movement, they were recognized as sheikhs. People would come to study with them, and they would go back to other places of Egypt to spread the ideas of the movement. So now you have this movement that starts spreading beyond Alexandria and establishes a presence in basically most of the parts of Egypt. And the movement is quite organized. It seems that those Salafis from the Salafi Dawah, the Salafi call, were influenced by the organizational pattern of the Muslim Brotherhood. That is, they tried also to create a Salafi organization that had these, that had the murshid, that had the guide at the top, that had, representative institutions. There was a Majlis al-Shura, there was a Consultative Council where there was a collective leadership. There were different branches. There were social services, just like the Brotherhood did. So they tried to make it something that, in a way, was a Salafi version of the Muslim Brotherhood. And it was not as organized as the Muslim Brotherhood, but it wanted to be so, at least, and it tried to be so. This also, helped them increase their influence, because, again, why the Muslim Brotherhood is so important in Egypt, it's also because it's an organization. It's not because of just the ideas, right? They gave themselves the means, organizationally, to be influential. They benefited from the game that the regime was playing at the time, under Mubarak, especially in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, right, the 30 years of Mubarak. The regime saw the Muslim Brotherhood as being the most threatening force. And so the regime was happy to see emerging in the religious fields another force that it thought it could use against the Muslim Brotherhood. And what made the Salafis attractive to the regime in that sense is that the Salafis were not political. What, as I said earlier, what they were aiming to do was to make society more conservative, basically, right? So their preaching was directed at society, but it didn't involve any kind of political stance against the regime. And Salafi sheikhs generally wouldn't even address political issues. They would just, talk about something else. It's not necessarily... Some of them went so far as to say that talking about politics is forbidden, right? Some of them even decided that, as a Salafi, you cannot talk about politics. Others just avoided the issue. But this, stance on politics in comparison with the Brotherhood that was overly political, this made them more acceptable to the regime. And so, in many cases, they benefited from covert support from the regime, right? The regime would intervene in some places to increase Salafi influence and diminish Muslim Brotherhood influence. So, they benefited from this kind of a climate. When the revolution happened in Egypt, when it started, at least, on the 25th of January, 2011, the Salafis didn't participate, right? As I said, they were not political, they were not interested in political issues, and so, naturally, there was no reason why they would go down to Tahrir Square. They really waited until the last days of the revolution to come down. They did it in the end because everyone did. But they waited until the 8th of February, that is 3 days basically before Mubarak abandoned power. They waited until then to call for their followers to go to Tahrir Square and join the protests. So they were really the ones who waited the most. The Brotherhood didn't start the protests. We also know that the Brotherhood joined the protests later on, but they joined them much earlier than the Salafis. This again reflects this lack of interest in politics that the Salafis displayed. But what is interesting is that in the wake of the revolution, the Salafis decided that now, if they wanted to matter in the new Egyptian game, now they needed to have a presence in politics, because, you know, in order to maintain and even increase their influence, they couldn't remain a social force only. So in March 2011, the Salafis make that historic decision that now they are going to create a political party that's going to work as a political arm of the movement. Again, a lot of people don't expect this from them. It's really something that is seen as a major rupture in the history of the movement. This group in Alexandria that I described, the Salafi Dawah, the Salafi Call, they create this party called Hizb al-Nur, the Party of Light, which becomes the biggest Salafi party in Egypt. And then you have other smaller Salafi groups, that were, again, much smaller than the big one in Alexandria, who also decide to create smaller parties. So from March onwards, you start to have a surge in Salafi parties. This is something that's very worrying for the Brotherhood, right? The Brotherhood have always had a form of monopoly on Islamic politics in Egypt. Islamism equals the Muslim Brotherhood before the revolution. And now suddenly, the Muslim Brotherhood see the rise of a competitor in the Islamic fields. And if you look at the Salafis and the Brotherhood from that moment on, they do consider each other as a competitor much more than an ally. And you can see it, systematically, like in all the elections, like in the legislative elections, for instance, they create two separate coalitions that really spend most of their time fighting each other than fighting non-Islamists. And when the presidential elections came, they did the same thing. They supported two distinct candidates. So, this means that, the Salafi presence in the political field has completely reshaped the form of Islamic politics in Egypt. And even more so because the Salafis were quite successful at what they did. In the legislative elections, parliamentary elections, which took place from November 2011 onwards, it took place in three different sessions. So they took place over a period of 2 months, from November 2011 to January 2012. The Salafis, as I said, presented a separate list from that of the Muslim Brotherhood. And they actually were quite successful. They got 28% of the votes. The Brotherhood got 43% of the votes. The Salafis eventually got a bit less seats because of the electoral system. Not going to get into too many details explaining this, but Salafis got 24% of the seats and 28% of the votes. But if you look at the votes, right, 28% for the Salafis, 43% for the Brotherhood, you're very close, right? They really imposed themselves as a major competitor to the Brotherhood. Explaining why they were so successful. There are a number of reasons why they were able to get so many votes. One reason is probably that they were able to talk to the lowest classes of society. That the Brotherhood in the end. Brotherhood has been around for a long time, and the Brotherhood probably had turned in the last few decades into something that was more of a middle class or lower middle class movement, right? And this is really where the Brotherhood's power base is located, in the middle class and in the lower, in the conservative middle class and in the conservative lower middle class. And this turn to the lower middle class into the middle class is something that diminished the influence of the Brotherhood among the lowest class of society. So the Salafis came to fill the gap. And if you look at the neighborhoods and the cities that voted for the Salafis, this split along social classes is very obvious, right? The Salafis proposed a discourse that was probably, again, much more appealing to the lower classes. There are other reasons that can explain the score that the Salafis did. Another thing is that the Salafis increasingly developed a logic that was quite distinct from the religious logic of the beginning, right? Once they entered the political field, they started developing a political logic. And they started, you know, creating a political Salafi discourse. That was something completely new because, as I said, they didn't have a political discourse at all before the revolution. That actually took a very surprising form. You know, Salafis were very keen, for instance, to explain that they separated between what they considered to be the goals of politics and the goals of religion. So for them, politics was never an end, it was always a means. So when you explain why they were in politics, they would always say, they are in politics to support the social activities of the Dawah, but they're not in politics because they want to achieve anything that is political in nature. So, for instance, so this was very distant from the Brotherhood, right? Which Brotherhood sees politics as an end. What they want is to seize power in order to create an Islamic state. The Salafis were very, you know, much less, their vision was very distinct in that sense. For instance, when the presidential elections came, the Brotherhood presented a candidate who just got elected, who was Mohamed Morsi, and finally got elected in the second round. The Salafis didn't present a candidate. They decided not to present a candidate because they said, you know, again, they're not interested, at least at this stage, right? The discourse may change, but at least at this stage, said they're not interested to seize power. What they said is that they want a candidate that is going to create a situation in which their social and religious activities would be in the most favorable position, conditions. So what they did is to support another candidate who's called Abdelmunim Abulfutuh, who's a former Muslim brother, who's a liberal Islamist, who's much closer to the center. And Abdelmunim Abulfutuh tried to bring together different segments of society, right? From, you know, he had some support from some Islamists, he had some support from some liberals, even some parties of the left supported him. And the Salafis supported him. And the Salafis supported him, they never said, you know, that they agreed with him religiously. They said that he is the only one who has the ability to first diminish the powers of the army, and second, this the only one who is, you know, who would create an Egypt in which they thought that their social and religious activities would be protected. And so again, they didn't support him because they said they agreed with him. And this is what I'm trying to say when I say they didn't see politics as an end. They saw it as a means to protect what they saw as the most important thing, which are their social and religious activities. So this explains why they made such a surprising decision, right? The Salafis are much more conservative than the Brotherhood, and yet they supported a candidate that was much less conservative than the Brotherhood candidates. But they did so because they said, we support this guy for strictly political reasons that are linked to what we consider to be the interest of our movement, even if religiously we disagree with him. So So that also, you know, has contributed to make the Salafis a movement, you know, that has a discourse and a presence that is completely distinct from the one of the Brotherhood. The question is, in the wake of the election of Mohamed Morsi, what's going to happen to the Salafis, right? The candidate that they backed for the first round of the presidential elections didn't make it to the second round. The Salafis eventually decided to support the Muslim Brotherhood candidate for the second round. But now in Egypt, you know, we're kind of back to the old situation of a Muslim Brotherhood versus army fight. That's been going on for 60 years, basically. And the Salafis in this, game are kind of, out. I mean, you know, as I said, they certainly don't like the army, and they certainly don't feel very comfortable with the army. At the same time, they see themselves as competitors to the Brotherhood. And so in a game that now is restricted mainly to those two actors again, it's very unclear where the Salafis are going to stand and what they're going to do in the next few months. But this remains to be seen.